Hello, everyone, and welcome to Death Talker Unscripted. Your host, Paula, the Death Walker, and I welcome all of you. I want to say a big shout out to everyone who just recently followed this podcast. It just really makes me very appreciative, and it kind of humbles me, and it also just reinforces what I do, and I am just so graced and honored to have that. So let's just get right into the podcast. I'm kind of in a melancholy kind of place. This week, one of my death talks was prematurely canceled for the rest of the year. I was doing it at a senior center, and of course, it's a city-run organization, and anyways, there were a couple complaints about my death talk. And when I found out what the complaints were, it kind of hit home for me in a way. And then it also kind of just reinforced what I have always kind of thought in my mind and what I really and truly the purpose of my death talks is to kind of break the stigma of death. And two of the complaints were simply that I had crossed the religious boundaries when I was talking about death. And apparently I offended a person in regards to my lack of religion when I'm talking about death versus what their whole life bases on what leads up to them dying as to what their religious belief is. And the second one was simply a lady who really, truthfully, should have never been in my death talk in the first place. She, when we were talking about it, she was very offended at how openly we were talking about hospice and, you know, the medicines that they give and medical aid and dying with dignity. She immediately associated those two with suicide. So again, the director and the center that I did, I have so much grace and respect for them. I really do. They gave me 18 months, a great base. And most of the people, you know, they'll find me. And I already have two other venues that have called and asked me to be there. So, but anyways, that's what this whole podcast really is about. I am speaking on death to get people to talk about it first. Just talk about it. Talk about how you want to die, where you want to die. Can we just have a clear conversation about death? It doesn't fall back to a moralistic or a religious book of some sort. Can we just look at it from the perspective of, let's just say science maybe, or nature, maybe that's a better word. And death is the outcome of life. And when you get here in life, you have this bioorganic body that you are given. It's tiny and it's packed with so much freaking energy. And then there's the you and whatever we choose to call it, essence, spirit, soul, whatever. I just like to think of it as simple cosmic stardust. And that cosmic stardust is what is needed to be protected by my bioorganic suit. And I understand that my bioorganic suit allows me so many graces and so many privileges in this time and place to experience things that otherwise I wouldn't be able to experience without my bioorganic suit. Having a child and touching and tasting and talking and speaking and hearing, all that stuff. So, but it is still simply a very natural thing in this time and place. Everything on this planet has a bioorganic suit. Your insects, your mammals, your, you know, everybody. And everything, every plant, And they're only sustainable for a certain amount of time. And that amount of time is, whether it's 70 years or 10 years or 9 years, we don't know. But when it is done and it is naturally used up, then it starts to shut down. And when that shuts down, that leaves the essence, the soul, the spirit energy, the stardust, as I like to call it. It leaves it with no place to live, no place to sustain itself. So this is where we get told by doctors that we have a disease, or, you know, this is the terminal moment where they tell you that there's nothing else they can do for this bioorganic body to continue to sustain you for any longer. And somehow, once we get that medical stuff, all of a sudden death turns around and we're in some sort of cultural bubble, and it turns into morality, and it starts turning into religious, whatever the religious end is, you know, when you die, and it becomes less about natural and more about societal constraints. And so for me, when I have my death talks, that's how I phrase things. I keep it as natural as I can to what nature is, to what science and what I have believed to be found out or discovered. And yes, I take them and put them in my own way, because I'm a human being and I do have a little spiritual background. So I'm able to mix the two together, just as the people who do the religious aspect and the other side. My point is, how I leave that bioorganic body when I am told that I am going to die, I should have choices. And hospice is not a choice. Hospice is, well, it just is the only thing that's there. There's no choice. It's just what you have to do that. And for me, it doesn't have what everybody else seems to think it has. I hear a lot of people say, oh, it's, you know, hospice is kind and compassionate, and, you know, we take into consideration the dying person. Do you? Because as far as I know, the dying person, that's all that they were given a choice of, basically. And if I step outside the box as a death walker, that's really what I do. I'm more an observer than an actual character in the stage of death that's being played out. And so as an observer, I get to see perhaps a different perspective or a different view of the death that's taking place outside of what the medical community has and the family and everything like that. And to me, when I see voluntary stopping of eating and drinking, those are horrible ways to go, by the way. I don't know if you've ever watched someone starve to death or dehydrate to death, but it's not a good concept, and it is really very hostile on the body. And then, you know, hospice as well will maintain your pain, and, you know, will give you lots of drugs. And so now you're kind of just, your vessel, your body is just being pumped up with so much stuff that organically, as it's dying, it doesn't know what to do with all that stuff. And so it just compounds the whole dying process, from the perspective that I see. So, and 9 times out of 10, hospice is drawn out. You know, it can be 7 days, 14 days, even longer. That's a very traumatic span of time for the dying, for the family, for the financial aspect, for anything that you're looking at. And it's not doing, it's really tearing down the body so much that if there is any of that essence or soul, or for me, stardust, it is such a negative draw that it would just seem that no matter what, it's not a very compassionate way to go. And it's certainly, there's no quality in that for me. Being a drooling zombie tied to a bed where my body's rotting and fluids are leaking everywhere, and someone's got to pick me up and move me, that there's no dignity in that for me. There is no quality of life. I have nothing. And so for me, I want to be gone before that happens. I want to be able to have a choice where I say, you know, I'm going to do my, you know, I have X amount of months, and I'm going to take these months and I'm going to do whatever I want to do, set up my life, finish my life, however, and I have a plan, but we won't go into that right now. And then when I'm still at a point where I am still me as a person, as that stardust, I want to be let go. I want to be able to choose to say, I want to have medical aid in dying. I want to have dying with dignity. And I would like to have it on this particular day at this particular time. And I would like to leave my bioorganic body before that whole, in for me, a lack of a word, that very undignified whole dying process sets in, the breathing and the spitting. And I just, to me, that just doesn't seem very, that doesn't seem like a very good ending to what I consider to be a really good life that I've had here. And it's been an amazing way to experience this time and place. And when you come in, it's such a big wonder, and it's like, wow. And then you have your life, and it's like, wow. And it's like, oh. And then it's like, oh, boo hoo. And oh my gosh, it's wow again. And then, you know, it's like, oh, okay, that's tough. And it's then when you get told that you're dying, all of a sudden it's less than, it's so much less than what you were just doing 6 months ago, living a life. And that's a horrible ending for me to end up being the end of my life. And so when I say that I would like to see death taken out of the box, that's exactly what I mean. I know that when I talk to certain people, I understand that I'm going to run into those that are extremely entrenched into a very deep moral, religious kind of binding. And that's okay. You can have that world. Hospice is there for you. And I am so glad that it's there for you. And I am eternally grateful on so many levels that that allows you to finish your life the way that you want to, knowing that wherever it is when you're dead that you go, there's going to be whatever's waiting for you there. I think that's phenomenal. What I don't think is phenomenal is I don't share that same viewpoint. I don't share that same definition of quality of end of life that you're choosing to do, but yet that's my only option. So I don't think that I think that your world and your end of life shouldn't have to be forced upon me to end it that way, because none of that fits in with how I have lived my life in this time and place. excuse me. There are so many ways, you know, people will tell you, well, there's nursing home care and there's hospital care and there's, you know, comfort care. Those are all the same thing. They're all hospice the same way. No matter, you can give it any pretty marketing name you want, but it's not in the realm of a choice. And when I say choice, there should be, you know, you could do this, you could do this, or you could do the standard traditional hospice. So I talk to people all the time, and I hear so many 55 plus people go, hospice isn't going to cut it for me. It's not the way I want to go out. And, you know, I hear some other ways that people choose. You know, people ask me a lot about, well, you're an herbalist and, you know, you do things your parent, you know, your mom and your grams taught you all kinds of plants, medicine and stuff like that. And I tell them, yes. And they always ask, are there plants that will help me die? Are there, you know, is there any? And the answer is always, of course. But what I guess breaks my heart as a death walker and as a human being is that these, in this conversation, that seems to be the only way that it goes. That is the alternative because there's nothing else to choose from. And then there's the legalities of all that. And, you know, I got to tell you, as an herbalist, there's way more to it than just going out there and eating something off your Orlander bush. Even though Orlander flower is poisonous, I promise you. It's, you know, it takes a very skilled hand, and it takes a lot, you know, and there are ceremonies and there's rituals and there's cultures that absolutely do use the plant medicine. It's quick, it's fast, it's done. And so these are things that we need to start talking about. These are things that we need to stand up and say, I am the dying person. Listen to what I am saying. Listen to what I want. And hospice is about as outdated as the lobotomy. The lobotomy served a purpose, probably still does serve a purpose in some far remote off case. Hospice in the beginning, I understand. But my God, can we not progress any further than that in the death world than a lobotomy? And if that's my only choice, oh my God, I promise you, I'm a skilled herbalist. And these are the things that we need to seriously look at as a society, as a collective. And I'm going to stop right there and say, it is not the care that I am talking about in hospice. To the doctors and the nurses and the orderlies and the respite people, man, you got my utmost respect. You really do. And for what the scenario that is being played out, I commend you all. I am merely suggesting that there has to be other ways. There needs to be other ways other than this only one road. We have come so far in technology and even in the medical world, and God, our defense. Man, we got blowing up people to a T. And we don't have any problem creating death. I mean, you know, we'll just boom. But it changes when the dying person says, you know what? I don't want to die that way. I understand there's nothing I can do about what disease has ravaged my body or how my body is shutting down. I have no control over that. But I don't want to be the victim of that. That's not how I want to go out. That's not how I want to leave this time and place, man. I came into this world and I was a little baby and bam, you know, like I was saying in the beginning. And now this is what's laid out for me? Nah, I want the big bang, baby. I want to be able to say and make that one final decision before I leave this time and place. And there's, for me, I don't have a religious ending to my death. I'm not one that, you know, foresees meeting up with all my loved ones or my daughter or anything like that. To me, the miracle of being in my bioorganic body and living in this time and space was getting to have and hold my daughter, to be a mother, to have the mother that I had, to have the grandmother that I had, to have all the people around me and all the life experiences. That to me is what I take with me. And once I die and am dead, then I return to whatever substance or wherever it was that I originally came out of. And so the big play is here, you know, and my last curtain call, no. I don't want to be, I don't want to be left in a bed somewhere that I'm just dwindling away. I don't think that's natural. I don't think it's, don't get me wrong, I don't think it's unnatural or anything, but I think there's a kinder, softer, gentler way to choose to die. And I think there's a quicker way and more quality of life. If I get to make that decision of the day and the time and how I want to go out, and I do everything beforehand, I make, you know, my kids and I, we all get together, we do the last hurrah, and I have this dignity, I have this quality of life, and that's what I want to be remembered. And then, you know, whether it's 2 weeks or 2 days, and I go in and I have medical aid in dying, or I have dying with dignity, which I hope will be my choices by the time I get there, I will have those choices. And if not, I will make damn sure that I go to one of the 11 states that I am so proud of. And I am so just really, really, really happy that you guys have opened the box up, and that a lot of the citizens and a lot of the people and a lot of the communities up there are now embracing that it's a whole new world when it comes to the death movement. And I salute you. And I hope that there are other states that continue to follow. My state, they nixed it. They didn't even take it to the table. And that's a sad thing, because this state is the largest 55 plus state in the country. And it's really sad that you didn't take the time to even listen to the people who are dying. That's what's really sad to me, that none of you took the time to even stop and listen to what somebody who was saying, I'm the dying person. Listen to how I want to die. Listen to what I am going through at the end of my life. And, you know, again, it shows me once again how very narrow-minded we are as a society, and how entrenched we are in the dogma of so much that has just been in, that has just been embedded into our beings, I guess. And I think it's time that we branch out and break out. And I'm the one that's going to keep speaking about it, and I won't stop. Complain all you want. That's okay. I'll keep going. And my end goal is to open a nonprofit, and I will have a holistic dying retreat. That's my goal. And I will make it happen. So I guess I should stop rambling now. And I would just like to leave you with one more thing. And I say this a lot in my death talks, and it's really a reminder. And I hope that it's also a shocker when I say this. I hope that it makes you stop and think a minute and go, what did she say? Say that again. And here's the gist of it. We are kinder to our animals when they die than we are to our loved ones. So blessed be. Please keep talking death. Please do whatever you can to, you know, help this go along. There's so many things you can do. You can do education and awareness, death positivity, look into the legal reforms, try to look for inclusive practices, maybe look at the environmental considerations, follow my podcast, come to my death talks, hold your own death talks, support the caregivers out there. Let's have some technological innovation towards the death movement. Why don't we? I'm all for AI, but let's move to some technological innovations for dying. And of course, art, culture, literature, media, all that. I'm one of it. I'm an example here by sitting here and just talking about it. Thanks for tuning in, and peace out. So much love. And I'll catch you next time. Good night.